Season one, episode four.
How good. On Reptiles Podcast, we're here, you know, with my mate, Caramello.
Yep.
I do name the favourite ones.
Yeah, I know that.
How good. This episode, we were talking about cooling. We've had a few few messages this week regarding how we cool and a couple of questions regarding it. So we thought we'd just do an episode on it.
Yeah, try and focus on...
answer a couple of questions that people have sent through. So
cool.
Let's get into it. Need my run sheet.
So we're a bit more
prepared tonight than other nights.
For you, when do you start your cooling every year? What do you have a set in date, or do you change it around every year?
So 1st of April, I'll stop feeding some of the girls.
Yep.
I know we've discussed it before.
Yep.
But good evening, Leah. April, where we are now, I'll stop doing some feeds on the regular girls. And a lot of their racks are actually on 24/7, and if not, they're given 2 hours off at night.
Yep, for sure.
So that's where I start. April comes, yep. I stop feeding the adult girls, the ones that are ready. Like the rack behind us, there's a few younger girls in there, and that's still on right now. But yeah, April's when I'll start my first.
Same here, same for me.
Cooling.
Yeah. Well, I do that with mine as well. I stop the feeding on the 1st of April, clear them out for a couple of weeks and start to lower the temperatures gradually, cut their hours a little bit at night, nothing too extreme, and then, yeah.
Okay, so did you start on the 1st of April? Because you've got a pair locking up right now.
I did. I thought I'd just chuck them in, see what happens, and they've a couple of hours after they're locked up, so...
So you started cooling 1st of April and
yeah.
2 weeks in... Oh, wow, we've already got lock-up.
Yeah.
How good is that?
First one for the year.
We've got to remember, we're talking about Antaresia, so a lot of them don't actually need much...
Some people say you don't need to cool them at all.
Mm.
But, it's all just down to whatever works.
I mean, that'll be one of the...
Climate as well, that can change a few things.
We've had a really cold week here in New South Wales and the Central Coast, so... I think that definitely, I mean, in the racks that I've still got heated, I see the boys running around because they can just feel that cool air.
Yeah, it's slowly starting to get...
So what do you have locked up tonight?
Marble male with a...
In my shirt.
With a het marble female that's bred the past two seasons for me, so this will be a third season.
So marble het pairing?
Yeah, okay. Which is throwing pretty good amounts of marbles in each clutch, so... Give her another run, see how she goes.
Sweet. So, when do we stop feeds? So, if you started cooling the 1st of April, when do you stop feeding your snakes?
On the 1st of... No, I pretty much start on the 1st of April as well.
So, you stop?
Yeah. Well, they're still getting their big, decent amount of heat each day. I'm just sort of cutting the night hours.
And what's your daytime temps?
I'm still sitting at probably 32, 33.
Yeah. Okay, how good?
What about yourself?
Yeah, same as you. I run a real hot day, 34s. I'm aiming around, so it'll be on either side of that, either 35 or 33.
Yeah.
A couple of views now, how good is this? 35 or 33. But 1st of April, the racks, generally a couple of them will be on 2 to 4 hours.
Okay.
Off already.
Yeah.
And they're just getting down to nighttime temperatures, which isn't that low. Like, the snake room doesn't drop below 26.
That's right, yeah.
so, I stopped feeding for those big girls.
Yeah.
Probably, just before the 1st of April. 1st of April will be their last feeds.
Yeah, cool.
And then I'll literally, before I do my next drops, so what are we, today's the 11th, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, is, so... Yeah. I went through on all my timers on my phone today because we use all the digital stuff.
Yeah.
And I dropped, I think it was half an hour off everything, including the olives.
Yeah, so just gradually bringing it down.
Gradually bringing it down by half an hour. And I mean, if we get to the end of April and my temperatures aren't where they need to be, big birchy, hey mate, if the temperatures aren't where I want them to be at the end of April,
yeah,
I'll do it a little bit more dramatically over a couple of days. So
yeah, okay.
2 hours at a time.
Do you have... set in dates that you'll start introducing, or do you just kind of wait and see how the males are looking and that sort of thing, or do you just...
Last season, I probably gave it 3-4 weeks. And I waited till the males were really starting to pace around. Now, the younger boys, like this one, he was a bit nervous for the first couple of introductions. But, like, my proven boys, they were straight in there. They knew exactly what to do.
That's right.
I don't want to say that, it could just be coincidence, but the first two clutches I got from the females that I introduced first last year, a lot of them were slugs.
Yeah, okay.
So this season, what I'm thinking is I might delay my pairings probably a couple more weeks until they've had a proper month of hardcore cooling.
For sure.
That's when
you really start to see the action.
When I say hardcore cooling, I mean at least 10 hours at night off. In the main room, that's what they'll get. Here, they'll probably get 6 hours off just because there's a couple of younger girls, there's some males that don't like getting too cold.
For sure.
But those girls out in the lounge room and the breeding room, they'll be getting 10, 12 hours off at night, and they'll be getting into the temperature in the room.
I dive into that a little bit earlier, but like we've said before, everyone's got their own methods and that sort of thing, so it's just down to personal preference, I guess, at the end of the day.
But, so what, your racks are obviously next to mine, so what are they getting down to? Well, the nighttime lows, the last few nights, what are they been getting down to?
Oh, probably 15?
Yeah, it's been 15, 16. And we leave the windows open just so they can get that cooler a little bit quicker. But yeah, that's the temperatures we want our ants at. And I mean, gets lower in the rooms. If it does get real low, we'll close up all the windows, all the blinds, and make sure that there's no cold air coming in where it can. But
that cold.
Ants, you have no issue getting down into the low teens.
Oh, that's right.
As long as they have that hot day.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
And I'm keeping them at 34 the whole time.
Okay.
So when you're, we kind of touched on it, but can, while you're dropping the hours of, like, your heating, can you still feed? I've had someone ask that he's saying that his snakes have stopped feeding, but he's still got, like, an hour or two on at night.
Okay.
So why he drops the temperatures, can he still feed?
I guess you can. I personally don't, but if the snake eats and it's getting some sort of good heat for a few hours a day, then you should be right. But, yeah, personally, I don't do that. Just because when I sort of lower the temps, that's when I'm starting to get everything in the breeding mode, so I don't really feel the need to feed them.
Okay, so you can feed, it's just, as long as they still have that real nice hot day that they can digest the food on.
Yeah, definitely.
And you'd be pretty much in the clear.
Yeah.
I mean, before you go to the serious cooling, I'd make sure they at least had 2 weeks of that hot day and probably still 6 hours on at night, just so they can digest it.
Yeah, for sure.
All the adults in the big breeding room, they're empty completely.
Yeah, yeah.
The girls in here, they're getting, what did I say, 4 hours off at night now.
Yeah.
Room's not dropping that much, though. And they've still got food items digesting.
No, that's right.
This boy's had his last feed. He's not touching anything else now. He's been pacing the tub the last few days, which I know, considering we've barely dropped the temperatures in this rack.
Yeah,
same. In the other racks we have. But, I mean, do we really need to cool the ants?
I don't know. I always have, to some extent.
So probably. Why do we cool them?
I've
heard that many reports of people getting clutches from not even cooling.
A lot of people reckon they have, and I don't doubt that for a second. But I think it's just to trigger the males and sort of get them going in basic terms.
Yeah, exactly right. That's my theory as well.
Yeah. I don't know if it's done as much for the females. Obviously, it is to some extent, but it's probably more to do with the males, I guess.
100%. I find males are the real reason we cool.
Yeah.
Yes, people have bred before without cooling. A lot of people do it. That subtle air drop in temperature, that air temperature drop,
just seems to
is enough to trigger them. That's how easy they are to breed. But like I said, every week I say it, we overcomplicate these little guys. I don't know if it's because we put so much time and effort into making sure they breed.
I'd say so.
We just find the males have so much more vigour when they are cooled.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I was at the ranch, the pied stimuli.
Yeah. How long ago were you there, just quickly? Was it
four or five years ago? But the pied stimuli, they actually were in the colder room because the male, the original male head, needed to be dropped that much lower in temperature.
Yeah, right, okay.
We would find he wouldn't breed if he was in the main snake room.
Yeah.
So we had to chuck him in one of the bedrooms and he would breed just because he needed to get that little bit lower in temperature.
Interesting.
So, little fun facts for you on the pods.
Bloody earth. Wish they were still around. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, you never know. If anyone has, let us know. Please. I'd really enjoy getting some of those again. But, I'm trying to see the live video, see what... Oh, no, it's going to play. Oh, no. Playing itself on here. So I just want to read the comments. So Leah Bennett.
Cool.
Female. My first year breeding, my spotted. She has already refused to feed. Should I put a male in with her and see what happens? As you've said, you've already had locks. Female is blonde, spotted, and male is platinum. What ratio of the baby should I expect? Leah, so first year breeding, like we said, it's... They'll breed at really anything. As you said, your female's already stopped eating, so she's already feeling those cues that it's breeding season. What I recommend is, if you, like I said, temperature's off at night, give it maybe at least another week or two, and chuck the boy and see. You've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's it.
And as far as the ratio of what babies, I'm guessing you're going to say a blonde and platinum. We don't work enough with the platinums. We work a little bit with the blondes, and even then I can't even tell you.
It's pretty random.
I did a albino to a blonde, and I got a whole clutch of blondes, and some of them even look platinum. So I can't tell you exactly what ratio will be what, but and then it will depend on what line of platinum you have as well. But no, good luck, Leah, with that. Awesome little snakes. Riley, if you can create an all black spotted Jake, I'll own an ant. We're trying, mate. And then Liam and Peter Birch. Hey, boys. G'day, fellas. Yeah, good. So, when do we start? So, this is strictly cooling. How long do you have them off for 10, 12 hours at night? Like, when are we starting to bump the temperatures back up for females both developing follicles and eggs?
Yeah, probably around August-ish, maybe a little bit later, touch later than that. Just when it starts to warm up a little bit more August. Outside, I guess.
So will you do it the same as you drop the temperatures, slowly increase it back up?
Yeah, slowly. A bit faster than I drop them.
Okay.
But yeah, no, not right back up. We just slowly work them up to it and then start offering feed and repeat each year.
So, do you increase the day temperatures at all?
What's that, when I start heating them up again? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, just... Like, they're not going to be super, super low, so just probably a few degrees each week, maybe, and then, yeah, let's go from there.
Yeah, so there you go. Peter goes, stimmies and pathensis need longer cooling periods. The children's the max, in my experience. And you know what, Peter, I find that the stimmies are always my last clutch as a guy. Yeah, I can't 100%. Talk about pathensis, but children's, I always say your first, and your max, and then your stimmies.
Yeah.
There's an our mac there. 2-year-old female, and that's my T plus. So for all those listening on the podcast, we actually did a live stream on the Under Reptiles page, so if everyone wants to go check it out there. But so August, you start increasing the temperatures back up, the nighttime temperatures.
Yeah, average.
But as we said, the environmental cues, they'll feel the little drops in temperature.
Yeah, that's right. They usually work it out for themselves, and
then they'll start eating when you start feeding them. Say if they haven't dropped the clutch.
If they haven't dropped a clutch, probably, I guess, after I'm certain that they're not going to lay, I'll probably start bumping them up a little bit, because that'd be around the time that you'd expect to see that. And yeah, probably give it a couple of weeks after I start bumping the temps up and off them something.
Food's also a good indicator if they're grabbing or not.
Yeah.
Ants are very...
Most of the time.
Yeah, ants will eat a lot of the time, so it's not always a... If they... They're not gravid. I've had females so that are gravid always smash food.
Yeah,
I've
girls. Stuff that will just eat all year round, no matter
what. Yeah, exactly. Get back in. Go. Okay. So, August, we're bringing the nighttime temperatures back up.
Yep.
What do you normally run in the summer? I know we're kind of jumping. I know this is a cooling episode. Like, what are your winters? Hours. Yeah, so once you bring them back up, you still keep them off a little bit at night, or?
Yeah, that's pretty standard for me for the most part each year. I'd probably run like, have them turning on at about 6 and turning off at about 10.
Okay, yeah.
And then obviously, so you can just work them when it is breeding time, you can work them down a little bit and hopefully trigger them a little bit more.
Okay, and how, I mean, like, I know I'm jumping again, but at least we're not jumping the whole right. seasons. How, like, are we rotating the male all the way through? So when you first introduce him, say April, May, all the way to August, are you introducing him?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'll slow off after I've seen a good handful of lockups.
Yeah.
But I'll still be triple checking, I guess, and just.
Yeah, I know this is a cooling, but obviously breeding falls into it because we're breeding. We're cooling for breeding.
That's exactly
right. So generally when the male stops locking up with her, either he's had enough or the female's on the other side of the tub, that's generally when I find that he's done his job and the things are getting going. Like I said, it is a cooling episode, but sometimes if one of the female isn't locking up with the male, I'll chuck her in the hatchie rack in a tub, give her a quick feed, something small.
Yep.
Just gets them going, and then I let them empty all that out. And,
yeah, for sure.
Then chuck them back in the breeding rack and male in, and she's all nice and receptive and wiggling her tail, and male straight up to her in the corner and off with his wicked way. But so that's a real quick briefing on cooling.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple of questions on the page. So this one is from Dylan. He's tossing up whether to cool naturally and not use any heat during the entire cooling period, or to leave heat off entire night, but to bump up heat during the days to 30-odd degrees for approximately 8 to 10 hours. I'm on the sunny coast, so our temps, even on the cool side, may get to low mid-teens during the night, lows 20s during the day. What do you think? Use our natural weather both day and night, or put the heat on during the day? So we're just touching it, Dylan. What would you do?
I'd probably just keep the heat on during the day like I do myself. And then
we're in New South Wales, so we can't really talk about what works up there.
Yeah, obviously it's a little bit.
But if I was to set up a collection there tomorrow, I would definitely heat through the days.
You'd probably only need,
32, just so the feet.
You reckon 8 to 10 hours a day at a minimum sort of thing?
Of heating, because it's a bit warmer up there, it would.
Follow the natural.
It would take a little bit longer to cool down of the night.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but good question, mate. And then Caitlin's got some awesome little out max from a couple of my bubs. She goes, is there any risk to your pythons if they do or do not cool them over winter? What are the pros and cons? I've only got hatchies at the moment, but interested to know as much as possible for next season. Research is key. So, to cool or not to cool for snake shot breeding?
Personally, nah. If they're like 4 years old, you can do it a little bit, I guess. Just cut their nighttime hours or something like that. But I don't really think there's any need to unless you're aiming to breed, really.
So, everything that's over 8 months old and up to size for breeding, I'll cool them, no matter whether they're getting bred or not. Pros is that if I do decide to chuck a male in with her, I've got her there.
Yep.
For males, if I'm not breeding a male but he's still cooled, I can use him to get other males in the mood and fire him up. Not more pros is that it saves on the money.
Yeah.
I mean, when we start cooling them during winter, they're not eating.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when you save your money and you go out and do all your other hobbies for us, which is nothing except get more hatchies feeding. But
constant.
Yeah, that's when you save a bit of coin on the heating and feed and the pros. Definitely. I mean, I can't see any cons other than that your snake's not eating, but that's what they're made to do. They're made during the winter. For younger snakes, I guess she's talking about hatchies because she's got hatchies off me. 100% keep your hatchies on heat for the first year, just to get as much size on them as physically possible, and as well as if you want to breed them at 18 months, that's what you're going to need to do.
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to need to not cool them that first winter, and then obviously the winter that you want to breed them, then cool them. So they're about 16 months when they start to get the cooling, and then obviously a month or two when they're 18 months old, for most of them, generally.
Yeah.
But, no, Caitlin, if you have any other issues, just let us know. Now, we also need to touch on, what are some problems that you can get through winter?
So I guess a pretty common one would be respiratory infections.
So RI, respiratory infection.
Yep.
I like to think of it, like we're no vets, don't take us...
Bit of a common cold.
I like to call it a common cold.
Yep.
I've never, ever had to give Snake antibiotics for respiratory infection. Generally, if I find, like I said to you guys earlier, I have a few boys that don't want to get too cold. And what the signs that I notice will be, they just start to have, it's not bubbles, but that's serious RI, but you just start to notice they're a little bit more congested. A little bit of a
wheeze.
A little bit of a wheeze, and that's it really. Like at this point, they're a serious RI and their mouths are all blocked up and they sound like they're whistling. It's ridiculous. And then you should get to the vet ASAP.
Yeah.
But the early signs are, just that little bit that you can hear when they breathe.
Crackle every
now and what I'll do is I'll take them straight into the snake room in a tub on their own with a little bit more heat. Obviously, they're not handling it.
They usually seem to clear up.
Clear up straight away. And if they don't, then I'll put them on 24/7 heat and not breed them that year.
Yep.
They're under enough stress. I don't want to put them under anymore.
Yep.
Like I said, that male I've got that doesn't like getting too cold.
Yeah.
He's in here now. And... that's what you notice with him, and
okay.
You just keep him on heat. And like we said, you don't need to cool ants. It's just better to cool ants. So, other than that, the only other real problems are, I can't really think of any other problems I've had during winter. Something to note on is that drafts. You want your snakes to get cool, but you don't want drafts on them. That is a serious issue, especially with our eyes. How long are we going for? We've got any questions that we need to catch up on the post? I've been How long have we been going for? 15 minutes. This will be part of the mini series we're putting up. I'm not showing up any comments. Leia, your guys are so placid and chill, very handable. Whilst the male and female together, what do you do with the heating? Follow what he had or what she had? So, Leah, your males and your females should be on the same cycle. So, for us in the racks, if we're giving our males 10 hours off at night, we're giving the females the same. And that way, if you've got them in separate tanks, just set your timers and your thermostats all the same. And that way, because otherwise, whoever's got the different temperatures is going to feel more of a difference. You know what I mean? If you chuck a male and a female that's getting heated, then he's used to getting cooled. That's from Leah. Hopefully she has a clutch.
That'd be awesome.
Hopefully she does. Who would that be?
Was it a pair of albinos, was it? Or
no, mate, it was a blonde spotted to a platinum.
Oh, okay. Leah.
Yeah. So, what else we got? We're done all pretty much cool. It's a quick, short topic, but...
Yeah, short and sweet.
So you got any news this week in the hobby?
I wouldn't say news. It's been a few cool things that have popped up on some of the pages.
Yeah. Did you see, there's a couple that I want to bring up, but you see that that super dark marble
that
was locked up with the T-Plus at Zemac? Was it Reptiles really nice. Had?
Yeah.
That's a cracker.
Almost pure black.
And right awesome. Above where it's just like there, where its vent would be, it had a little patch of yellow. Yeah. I really like that.
No, it was awesome. That stood out for me. And that granite from Kurt Livesley, was it?
Yeah. Back on the dark marbles, do you reckon there's anything else more to it? Like, how do you reckon...
I don't know.
It's a polygenic thing to go from...
I think it is polygenic, for the most part. But there's still... If you mixed it with other stuff that's yet to be done, I reckon there could be some pretty cool stuff.
I wonder how... Coming out of it,
but...
Oh, who's calling me? Probably Jeremy.
Does that need it?
The live stream,
yeah. Oh, are we
back? We're back on. Yeah, good. Sorry, guys, just got a phone call. I'm interested to see, like, when you put, like, a platinum, or, I don't know, there's no platinum in children's, guys, don't shoot me, but it will be done one day.
Yeah.
When you put, like, a platinum into it, or, like, an Elko Islands, I wonder if the polygenic colours will affect it or change it.
It'll be interesting to see. There's a...
Because the marbles that are dark is something more.
I reckon,
Colin, you can work with them. and then let us know. Yeah. Nah, honestly, there's so much to marbles that we don't know about, which...
Light ones, dark ones, white ones, everything in between. There's a lot to them.
White ones, black ones. it's funny, I've got a breeder coming over this week. We're very excited, and he's going to come check everything out and see if he can see any markers on a couple of our project animals, because I really believe that we're so, not behind, but there's so much more to ants than we're already at. Yeah. Including all the markers and all that sort of stuff.
It's all part of the fun.
And yeah, that other animal that caught my eye this week was Kurt's.
Granite.
He had the white scales on the chin.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Kurt from Progressive Pythons Australia. It was actually a wanted, well, not a, I don't know if it wanted, but it was more of like a show us your granites. Everyone started posting pictures of the granites. Not as many as I thought around. Who's messaging us? What questions are coming through?
Colin, people are breeding to make more marbles, not seeing what is what.
I agree. Too many people are just putting with whatever.
That's right, yeah.
And as well as with the hets, we don't know what's going on with the hets. Like, how do you know if you get this het that it's not going to give you a black or a white?
Well, yeah, for instance, like I found with my het marble female, that she, all the babies come out sort of patterned a little bit granity looking, and then within sort of 6 to 8 months, they usually fade out to near patternless for the most part. So I don't know if that's just that particular snake, but...
Definitely more to it.
Yeah. Got to be something there.
Back on the granites, I've messaged a couple people and there's not as many as I thought around.
Yeah.
I searched high and low because we got a couple here, but I'd like to get a couple different bloodlines of them. I've been really thinking about the last year about getting a lot of different cool, strong lines, different colours and size and pattern to work into some of our morphs. Just to give it, one, that little bit more variation, but also just to keep the lines fresh.
Yeah,
nothing worse than when you're working with stuff and line breeding it and not ever doing outcrosses, because then eventually you're going to come to a roadblock.
No, that's right.
Babies will start coming out with issues. I know it might be 10 generations, but still we'd like to avoid that as quickly as possible.
For sure.
Also, I want to give a shout out to a bloke named Corey Gill. Now, he messaged us this week. He's listening to the podcast, so huge shout out to Corey.
Thanks, man.
But... he's actually getting back into reptiles. He's into reptiles a couple of years ago.
Yeah, okay.
So he's getting back into it now. So it's good to have you back, mate. Keen to see what you're going to start keeping and hopefully one day start producing. But and also something not Antaresia related, but did you see that silver pepper Darren Whitaker posted today? That patternless one? Like it was almost patternless.
Yeah, yep.
That's another morph. I've no idea on it, but I believe it's like the marbles where it's got so much more to offer than people really know.
Yeah, definitely. Sort of starting to scratch the surface with those now.
So that's... we talked about carpets. What the... mate, it's a mo. I was going to go for the Tiger Joe blonde mullet, but I don't think work would like that. Might sell a few more houses, start speaking American. But yeah, and so that's our carpet talk. We've got to cover once every species. But
yeah.
I think for monitors, Birch, you put up that, the small monitor episode, which was pretty cool. We don't keep any monitors, and I have before. I kept like a lacy and stuff back in the day, but none of the small stuff. Obviously,
Is that something you'd like to get into in the future, or stick with the ants?
Might stick with the ants, hey. Yeah. No. They're cool little lizards.
Yeah.
Our lizards obviously go to only geckos and bearded dragons.
Yeah.
But monitors I've not here, but I can imagine they're a bit more work and need a bit more space and
yeah, absolutely.
They'd be a lot more interesting to watch though, those emerald tree.
Yeah, oh, they're crazy.
Mate, they're unreal.
Cool to see when they become more available to the hobby. Who knows when that'll be.
But, so this is our Saturday night podcast.
Yep.
We're going to start trying to do stuff on Saturday and Monday nights. Monday night we'll probably do a bit longer of a chat and then we'll keep our Saturday talks short, sharp and sweet. But, if anyone...
throw the ideas at us.
So, Leah, how old is the bloke I'm holding? He's a 2-year-old, 2.5-year-old T-plus from the Snake Ranch, Colin Raylon. As you can see, his pattern... real crisp. You want to get one of the babies, Eden?
Sure.
Get one of those. So, it's about a 2-year-old male. So, 3-4 foot. Like I said, everyone on the podcast, sorry guys, you obviously don't get the visual effect like we do on the live stream.
So this is probably one of the nicer ones that I produced last season. It's got a little bit of striping. Don't know if I'm on the camera. Right. Got a bit of striping coming through on the top of it. It's probably the only one I hold back. It's a female, so I'll put a male over her next season, all going well.
Okay, and then this is another female, same line, so you can just tell, not as orange as the male, but they're still real clean and crisp.
I did notice a decent amount of variation with them, nothing too major, but some were really bold and some were more faded out.
Well, I'm excited for this year because we'll have that girl I just showed you, we'll have 3 different heads, yeah. All wheat, there's one broom, one weedy. And then there's one bit of a mix, but it's a bit stripy.
Is that the New South Wales?
I don't know, it's a mixed locality one.
Yep.
So I'm keen for those 3, but then there's the 3 visual girls and they're all different. Colin said, what locality does a T plus Stimmy come from? Don't quote me. Colin's told me once, but the story I heard is that... couple mates gave another mate snakes and then that mate produced the T pluses. I don't remember what locality it was from, I'm sorry. And then when the mate got back, he traced all his animals back and worked out which was hets and that's how he produced them.
Yeah, okay.
So that was the Snake Ranch, Colin Ray, Sean Grundy line, for those that are interested. But there's one more animal that I'll have to pull out just because I can. Get the light on it. Look at that. So,
something a bit different.
That's my black line. This is an alb that I hatched out from my black line of Black Max. So, be interesting to see. A lot of those people saw the... Move the other way. They need a bigger room.
It's getting that way.
But, nah, yeah, a lot of people. Oh, there you go. Colin Ray, the original locality was Tennant Creek. Yeah, cool.
Tennant Creek.
I didn't know that. How good's that? But yeah, so that alb hatched out for my black line.
Yep, the only one like it.
Only one like it. Got a couple of normals that are a little bit different.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. But yeah, so the other T plus Stimmy line, jumping back, is the WA line that Dave Evans works with.
Yeah, were they like...
Not WA line, what am I saying? Lake Argyle. Like I said, don't quote us
from. I don't know if, who knows what's going on there with those guys, if they're, if there's a couple of different types of T plus or it's actually something else. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
We talked about granites, we're talking about D plus. How good's that T plus granite that Dave popped out? So that was his line of T plus Stimmies over a granite.
Yeah, okay.
That's a 1 in 16 odds animal, and he smashed it. Yeah. So, that's pretty cool. If anyone wants to go check that out, look at Lake WA. So I was right. Hey, it is WA Lake Argyle WA.
Cool.
Leo, off topic. My male continually bluffing. There you go, Birchy Ray line tenning remnant. continually bloody anybody went out and defecating any tears specifically to ants. Don't get your snakes out after they've had a big feed. For those that on the podcast,
yep.
Ask how do you stop your snakes from shitting when they haven't, when you get them out.
Give them a good
headbutting. If they're stressing out, then obviously they're just not used to handling. Don't hold them after they've had a feed. Regarding to breeding, if you're putting your male in there and he's defecating all over the tub, then it's just to hear him a sign that he's spell check. It's just a sign that he's sending.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. No.
A lot of people criticise us because we don't clean our tubs in winter, but I want my male scent. I want my female. I want to be as all scented up as it can be. Just
give them a good clean at the start and let them take.
Didn't someone else produce T plus grants a few years ago? Not sure a few years ago. Kurt Lively from Progressive Pythons Australia. He's got a granite T plus line going.
He did produce a T plus granite, although I'm pretty sure it came out of the egg and then unfortunately passed away. But Kurt does have, I'm pretty sure right now, if anyone's interested, he does have some T plus posset granites.
Okay.
And granite posset T pluses for sale.
Something to get into.
I'm pretty sure the T plus line he used was the children's line.
Yep.
Which is compatible with the
ranch line.
The ranch, Colin Ray, yep. The Tennant Creek line.
Yep.
It is compatible. Dead in egg, they were children. Yeah, so they were the T plus children across the Granite Max. So yeah,
they look pretty cool.
But yeah, Dave Hatch won out this year successfully from his line and the granites, which was, it's almost purple.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts. It's
crazy.
It's a few big years coming with the ants and the combos. What are you most excited with? If any combo, what would your ideal snake be for
a ideal combos? I'd love to crack out the owl marbles. I reckon that'd be pretty cool. See if they're going to work and what they could potentially do.
What did you say, sorry?
Owl marbles.
Owl marbles, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Owl marbles, bit far-fetched, but even the albino cross T+. I don't know if they're going to cross each other out, T- T+. Who knows what could come from the double recessive animal from that.
Yeah, Colin. Could so Dave's T+ granite, he hatched was T+ stimmy to granite.
Yeah.
If you were to chuck a albino marble, would you pick a marble? What line of marble would you pick? Like the whites or the yellows or the blacks and the real reduced patterns?
Personally, I'd probably go the darker animals.
Darker?
Because I feel like that might translate to something cool in the...
Imagine a lava blue tongue.
Yeah.
That's got the reds and the purples. Imagine what a albino, but with heaps and heaps of bright red dots.
That's how I'm hoping they turn out. That'd be pretty cool. But, yeah, like the larvae sort of look, I guess, as you see in the knobtails as well.
Mm. So.
Yeah.
They're saying it was T+ children's. Okay. Leah also asked, how far are we in Australia from cracking pieds? Snake Ranch had a viable recessive line of pieds 4 or 5 years ago. Oh, no, I lost the comments. Don't know how to bring them back now. It's quite that way. Had a viable line of pieds. Unfortunately, the owner is gone, and we don't know what's happened to the animals. So they're here. There you go. They're here, but it's just a matter of when they're going to pop up again. And the parents of the Snake Ranch pieds were from the wild, so it does come out from there.
Yeah.
There is a number of people working on like a possible pied line, but that one's been around for many, many years. And what would happen is that the babies would hatch. Like the most anyone ever got was a baby to hatch and it would die.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're hatching prematurely and they're not developing the pattern. That's why they're white. I'm not too sure. I haven't got to work with that line, but I've got a few friends that now have it. So hopefully they can tell.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, Kurt's just posted on the live stream about his T+ granite. So it pipped the egg itself and then went back in, and as far as I could see, it got caught up in the cords. Got caught up in the umbilical cord and died. That was in 2018.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember that was a very unfortunate thing. Imagine that, hitting a 1 in 16 odd animal and that happening. Kurt, mate, I feel for you. I'd send you a box of tissue paper, but I can't get it at Coles still.
Too
so
hard to get.
But nah, good little episode.
Yeah.
Keep people informed.
Bloody oath.
We're going to try and do a couple more little mini series like this that we do, like cooling, pairings, egg care. Just all this, like quick, sharp, get to the point. So people want to hear about cooling, they can hear about cooling. People want to hear about getting hatchies to eat, they can hear about hatchies getting eaten. It's only a 10:15. But then we'll still do our Monday live ones.
Yep.
The big long ones.
Okay, cool.
What are we going to talk about this week? If anyone has any ideas of what you want us to talk about, please let us know. We've got a couple ideas, we've got a lot of special guests that want to come on.
Yep.
But we just want to kind of keep a few things in our back pocket in case. So
cool.
But nah, too easy guys. We'll get this live on Spotify ASAP so everyone can listen to it on their car drives that they're sitting in the driveway because you're not allowed to go anywhere. Andy, I produced double het, T plus granites 2 years in a row. He got all males button both clutches. I shouldn't laugh, Andy, but I'm sorry. You know as much as I do how gender ratios can